hopeless idea. And I'm going to go a little bit deeper than that. Have you ever felt a sense of hopelessness? But let me give you some shocking ideas from history, and I'm going to do a little quiz, okay? So who do you think might have said something like this? I don't need a helmet today, it's just a boy with a sling. Goliath. Very good, right? Okay, so give yourself one mark if you got Goliath for that one. Okay, here's another one, a bit more difficult. I think I'll be able to cheat on Henry and get away with it. Who do you think might have said that? Not Anne Boleyn, but very near. Begins with Catherine. Catherine Howard. She was the fifth wife of Henry VIII. Okay, the four wives previously he wasn't happy with, so he got rid of them, but obviously Catherine thought, I'm going to change him. Just a bit like most wives, isn't it? Okay, here's another one. This is easier. Let's not clutter the deck with too many lifeboats. We're unsinkable. Titanic, very good. Okay, here's another one. Give you a clue here. It's from 1962. Groups and guitar music are out. Well, it's to do with the Beatles, but that was actually said by what records? Decca. Decca Records, who originally turned the Beatles down, and they said that groups are out, and especially groups who play guitar music. How wrong can you be? Okay, and how about this one? I hate taking notes. Let's just use a tape recorder. That's right, absolutely. Well done, that person over there, whoever that was. Richard Nixon said that. This one is easy. Okay, guys, let's go and invade Poland. They'll be afraid of us. Who said that? Yeah. What's his name? Hitler, absolutely, right. And this last one, I have an idea. Let's bomb Pearl Harbor. It's got nothing to do with America. Who said that? The Japanese, right, brilliant. Okay, now we may not have any bad ideas on that scale. Okay, I'm sure we've all had some bad ideas from time to time. But, you know, our hopelessness and our hopeless ideas tend to center around thoughts like, I never get things right. Things always go wrong for me. Okay, that's a hopeless idea. What about, I don't have the strength to change things. Whoever feels that, and that is a hopeless idea. Nobody likes me. Ever thought that one? Nobody likes me. I'm not popular. What about, I don't have enough time in the day to get everything done. Okay, we think that one, don't we? What about, I have no talents or gifts? Sometimes we think that as well. I meet many people who think they have no gift in life. What about something like, I don't need to go to church? Hopeless idea, right? Now, we give ourselves suggestions all the time. In actual fact, you are talking to yourself all the time. Did you know that? You talk to yourself all the time. In actual fact, you need to start worrying when you stop talking to yourself, not the other way around. Okay, but the question is, what is it you are telling yourself? What kind of suggestions are you making in your own mind? You see, the things that we say and how we say them make a huge difference to our feelings and ultimately to our lives. Now, this is what I want to say this morning. It is totally unnecessary for us to go around with these hopeless ideas. It is totally unnecessary for us to believe these suggestions that we make to ourselves. And here are some reasons. There are plenty seats, Luke, come and sit down. Plenty seats around. Thank you. You can sit in my seat if you like. I know you've wanted that one for a long time, haven't you? Brilliant. Thank you, Luke. So we make these suggestions to ourselves all the time. It's totally unnecessary for us to believe them. And here are some reasons. Give you two reasons today why we don't need to believe these thoughts that we have. Number one, we have the stupendous reality of being in Christ. Amen. It's a stupendous reality. It's an amazing reality that we as Christians can say, I am in Christ. It changes your whole reality. It changes your whole perception of life. You see, the Bible tells us that we are in Christ. That's what it tells us when you became a Christian, when you were baptized, you and I, we were mysteriously, mystically incorporated into Christ. So if you are a Christian and you're forgiven, you're not outside of Christ, you are in Christ. Amen? And the Bible tells me that in Christ, you have an amazing number of gifts. Number one, you have grace. That's what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 1:9, in Christ, you were given grace. That means that you were given the free gift of God. Number two, in Christ, you were chosen. Amen? So that's not a hopeless idea. If you are, how can we be carrying hopeless ideas around in us if we have the grace of God and we were chosen by God? In Christ, you are loved by God with an inexpressible and inseparable love. That's what it tells us in Romans 8, 38 to 39. It says, I am sure that neither the most powerful, perhaps, power on earth is death. He says, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor power nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. I want to tell you this morning that your hopeless idea, your hopelessness cannot under any circumstances separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ, God will continue loving you no matter how you feel about yourself. And so we need to bring our minds around to believing and to agreeing with what God says about us rather than what we think about ourselves. God loves you, and you cannot be separated from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. In Christ you were redeemed, which means you were bought back. You were under a different owner, and now you were bought back. He went into that pawn shop, and he paid the price of his own blood, and he brought you back into his own fold and into his own kingdom. In Christ you have been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ, everything you really needed will be supplied. In Philippians 4:19 says, my God is able to supply all your needs according to his riches. Well, how rich is he? How rich is our God? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Isn't that what the Bible says? He created the whole planet and the whole universe. Everything on earth belongs to him. Every pound in everybody's pocket belongs to Jesus ultimately. So my God is able to supply all your needs. In Christ, the peace of God, this is an incredible gift that God gives you because you're a Christian, the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. These are the promises and the words of God for you. You know, even in Christ Jesus, you will be raised up from the dead one day at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is something to look forward to. You will be given a new body. And many of us will say, well, hallelujah for that. I am going to receive a new body one day, an imperishable body, a beautiful body, a glorious body, an imperishable body that nobody and nothing will be able to destroy. In Christ Jesus, you will be raised from the dead at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is entirely unnecessary for you to carry around a hopeless idea or a sense of hopelessness or a spirit of hopelessness. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the first thing. You are in Christ. Secondly, I want to say to you this morning that you have an awesome power living right there, right inside of you. It's the power of God, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power that created the universe. Hallelujah. It's the power that formed the mountains and the valleys and the rivers and the seas. It's the God who holds everything in that awesomely perfect balance. And remember, that balance is very narrow, but God keeps it there. And it's that power of God, that personal power of God that we call the Holy Spirit, that lives right there, right deep down inside of each and every one of you. Can I just tell you a story about a man called Mr. Betts, who owned a music store in London back in, I think it was 1820. And he was also a musician. One day, a very disheveled, down and out looking man came into his shop. And this man said, I've had enough. He said, I can't take it anymore. I have nowhere to sleep. I have nothing to eat. I am hopeless. I'm in a hopeless situation. But I have this violin. And I want you to buy this violin from me. So the store man, Mr. Betts, who had many violins, he took a quick look at the violin. And he said, okay, I'll give you a guinea for it. 1820, a guinea was quite a bit of money. So he gave him a guinea, and the man left his shop. As soon as he left, because the man was a musician, he took the violin out of the case and he raised it up into the position of a violin. And he took the bow out of the box and he drew the bow across the violin. And he heard the most wondrous sound coming from that violin. And he knew there was something different about this one. So he looked at the name on the box. And the name said, Antonio Stradivari. Some of you will have heard of Antonio Stradivari. He's the genius of the violin. And it said, Antonio Stradivari, 1704. Immediately, Mr. Betts knew that this was a very valuable piece of kit. So he ran out into the street to try and find the man. In fact, he advertised over the district to try and find him, but he never did find him. So he had this violin, and eventually that violin sold for $5,000. And the last I heard about it, because I keep a close track on these things, as you can possibly imagine, this violin sold for $100,000. Today it's called the Betts Stradivari. You can look it up on Wikipedia or any encyclopedia you like, and it'll tell you about this famous, it's the most famous violin. It's in a museum. I think it's in New York at the moment. But that man who brought his violin into that shop had in his possession the answer to his hopelessness. He could have solved all his problems. financial at least. And how foolish was that man that he didn't actually get his violin valued? What about you? What about me? You and I have in our possession the answer and the solution to all our problems. Right there, deep down inside of you, you have a volcano of power ready to burst out of your life, ready to burst out into your family, ready to burst out into your church, ready to burst out into your community. An absolute volcano of power. Like the St. Helens volcano that lay there for well over 100 years. Nothing seemed to be happening. And then one day in 1980, the side of the mountain blew off. And it destroyed property and lives 20 miles away. That was the power that was inside that volcano. If you are a Christian, you have awesome power right there, deep down inside of you. You can call upon that power in every situation, in every difficulty, in every crisis of your life, in every spirit of hopelessness that comes against you. You can overcome. The blessing of God is with you because you are in Christ. And because the power of God is in you. So you have great hope this morning. Just like, you know, Obed-Edom in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. David was taking the ark back to Jerusalem, and a foolish man called Uzzah, he touched the ark and he died. And David decided that instead of taking the ark back to the city, that he would leave it in the house of a man called Obed-Edom. And so you can imagine the surprise of this man, Obed-Edom, when he knocked on the door. And he said, "Who's there?" And he said, "It's King David." "You what? The king is at my door. What do you want?" "Well, I've got the Ark of the Covenant here. I'm going to leave it with you for a period of time." "Don't worry, somebody touched it and died, but you'll be okay." So he leaves the Ark of the Covenant with Obed-Edom. And you know, the Bible tells us that the Ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. I want to say with you today, hallelujah, because you're a blessed man and a blessed woman, because the Ark of God is with you. The presence of God is with you. You have an amazing hope in this world. And you don't have to be hopeless. So you, this morning, right here and right now, you and I, we can drop that hopeless idea. There is no need for you to feel hopeless. You know, all great men in history, they all went through hopelessness. Peter, who walked on water, he wanted to give up. He wanted to quit. He had said of Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. To whom shall we go? You have the message of eternal life." And yet there he is, sitting in the house of this woman, mourning and running away from Jesus. He denied the faith. He denied his Lord. He denied his church. And he even cursed God. He had a desire to quit. He had a desire to walk away. Well, we don't know why he turned back, but we do know that he did. Maybe it was his wife who convinced him. Wives very often are very wise in speaking to you, provided they don't nag you. Maybe she said to him, "Peter, you're a great man." She buttered him up. Okay? "You're a great man. You know, you'll never know what this thing about Jesus was all about if you don't go back. You'll never know what you can achieve. You'll never know what you can be if you give up and walk away now. This is not the time for walking." Maybe it was his wife. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell me that. I'm just guessing here. But something sent Peter back. Amen? And then we find him on the day of Pentecost standing in Jerusalem preaching Christ once again, the Lord that he loved. Martin Luther had a vision of the reality and the grace of God, and he crossed on his knees St. Peter's Cathedral and said, I will not recant, I will not renounce what I believe. And yet, in discouragement, because of the mighty weight of the Catholic Church that came against him, he had seizures of depression and despair, and it made him want to give up. But he didn't. That's the main thing. He never gave up. Winston Churchill had serious bouts of depression, especially during the days, if you read his biography, when he stood against the might of Hitler. But he didn't give up. And Winston Churchill is the one who said, if you're going through hell, keep going. So if this morning you're going through hell, keep going. Don't turn back. And he continued to confront the Nazi power until the tide turned and the Allies eventually won the war. These men were able to turn around and face the hopeless idea full on. You too must confront it. So what do I want to say this morning? I want to say, first of all, what do you have to do? You have to confront that hopeless idea. Don't run away from it. Number two, what I want you to do this morning is to smile. Okay? Because a smile is an indication of a good attitude. You need a good attitude in a bad situation. You need a good attitude when things go badly for you. So I don't want to talk particularly about a bad attitude. I want to talk about a smile. What does a smile mean? A smile means that you have faith. A smile means that you have a renewed and a free mind. A smile means that you have a good attitude. And a good attitude and a smile can achieve a great deal in life. I'm going to tell you a confirmed story. It's about two salesmen selling boats at an exhibition. This happened in the United States. A sheikh, very rich man, he wanted to buy 20 million pounds worth of boats. And so he went to this first salesman. And the first salesman, he said to him, good morning, sir. I would like to buy 20 million pounds worth of your boats. And the salesman scowled at him and responded to him with skepticism and disbelief. And so the sheikh left him and he just went down the road to the next salesman. And the second salesman, he said to him, I want to buy $20 million worth of your boats. And that salesman said to him, you know, sir, he said, I don't blame you. He said, what a great idea. And so the sheikh took $500,000 of a check out of his pocket, signed, and handed it over to the salesman. And the salesman helped him to buy $20 million worth of boats. And the second salesman got 20% commission on that sale. All because of a different attitude. All because of a smile. All because he welcomed that particular man. So this morning I want to say to you, a good attitude and a smile can achieve a great deal in your life. Put on a good attitude. Don't run away. Put on a good attitude. And the last thing I want to say to you is, cut the word quit out of your dictionary. Now I know a preacher once preached this message. He said, I want you to cut the word quit out of your dictionary. So a man went home and he got all the dictionaries in the house and he cut the word quit literally out of every dictionary. And then he phoned up the preacher and he said, preacher, he said, I've done it. I've cut the word quit out of every dictionary in my house. And the preacher said, well, actually, he said, I wasn't recommending the mutilation of dictionaries when I said, cut the word quit out of your dictionary. I really meant, he said, cut it out of your heart. Cut it out of your mind. Cut the word give up, quit, out of your heart and out of your mind. So this morning, as I bring this short message to a conclusion, I want to say to you that it is unnecessary for you to be hopeless. There is always hope because you are in the most amazing person who ever lived. You are in Jesus Christ. And you have the power that you need to confront every dark and difficult situation in your life. This morning, you can rise up in the faith that God has given you. This morning, you can say, I, in the name of Jesus, I am dropping that hopeless, that negative, that unhelpful idea. And I am putting on the mind of Jesus Christ this morning. I know some of you here this morning, you are going through some very difficult times. At the moment, you are under a lot of pressure. You are under a lot of temptation to give up in one way or another. And God wants to say to you this morning, now is not the time to quit. Amen? Because God is going to see you through. God is going to raise you up. God is going to bring you to a place, a land, if you like, flowing with milk and honey. He's going to bring you to a place of freedom and a place of peace, but hang in there because your miracle is just around the corner. I pray that God will bless this message to your heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sorry, Luke. It's okay. You can stay there, Luke.